Donna didn't come into the office today?
No, she's got a fever.
Aww, that's so thoughtful.
A woman of principle.
She even wears a mask to the mall and washes her hands for like 20 seconds.
Some people are just too perfect.
And when she has a sore throat, cough, or runny nose, she wears a mask too.
Aww. I can't believe it.
Talk about considerate.
I'm touched.
She can have my office chair.
She can have my office.
For everyone's good, let's adopt proper habits against the viruses. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I think you're all aware that the whole planet is really going through, a great deal of turmoil, you know, man-made or not. And everybody's dealing with their lot. And for now, this is, it seems, what we have to deal with. But to your point, three floods in 10 days or a week is, it's a bit too much.
The death toll from 2 weeks of flooding in California has reached at least 20, as climate scientists are predicting more extreme weather linked to climate change over the next 2 years. Outrage is growing over how fossil fuel companies were fully aware of the link between fossil fuel emissions and global warming, but spent decades obscuring the science in order to make maximum profit. We'll speak with California Congressmember Ro Khanna, who recently concluded a congressional investigation into the allegations.
As early as the 1970s, Exxon knew not only that climate change is real, but that its products, Exxon's products, were contributing to the climate crisis.
We'll also speak with Congressmember Khanna about the priorities of the incoming Congress as the debt ceiling looms, calls for Republican George Santos to resign, and whether Khanna may run for Senate or president. Then, the Justice Department and Congress face new calls to investigate Donald Trump's financial ties to Saudi Arabia. The latest controversy centers on the LIV Golf Tournament, which is owned by Saudi Arabia's sovereign public investment fund. The chair of the fund is Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. It's paid millions to Trump's golf resorts.
Can you help me appreciate your decision to host this event?
Yep. Well, I've known these people for a long time in Saudi Arabia, and they've been friends of mine for a long time. They've invested in many American companies. They own big percentages of many, many American companies. And frankly, what they're doing for golf is so great. What they're doing for the players is so great. The salaries are going to go way up.
We'll also look at how Saudi Arabian government agents infiltrated Wikipedia to control information about Saudi Arabia and imprisoned Wikipedia administrators who posted content critical of the kingdom's human rights record. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Ukraine, at least 44 people were killed and dozens remain missing after a missile attack tore through a high-rise apartment building in the city of Dnipro on Saturday. It was one of the deadliest single assaults of the war since Russia invaded nearly 11 months ago. Officials in Kyiv blamed Russian long-range missiles for the destruction. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres strongly condemned the attack, calling it another example of a suspected violation of the laws of war. A Kremlin spokesperson denied Russia was responsible, suggesting the blast may have been caused by a Ukrainian air defense missile that went astray. Elsewhere, fierce fighting continues to rage in the eastern province of Donetsk, where Russian forces are seeking to take full control of the city of Soledar. Earlier today, the UN's Human Rights Office confirm more than 7,000 civilians have been killed in Ukraine since Russia's invasion, though the agency believes the true toll is likely considerably higher. In Kyiv, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky cited the latest Russian attacks as he appealed to allies to send even more heavy weaponry.
Чи можна зупинити російський терор? Так.
Can Russian terror be stopped? Yes. It is possible to do it somehow differently than on the battlefield in Ukraine? Unfortunately, no. It can and must be done on our land, in our sky, and on our seas. What is needed for this? Those weapons which are in the depots of our partners and which our soldiers are waiting for so much.
The United States has launched an expanded combat training program for Ukrainian soldiers. The top U.S. General Mark Milley, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, toured a U.S. military base in Germany Monday as Pentagon advisors began training about 500 Ukrainian troops in the use of advanced weapon systems, including artillery, tanks, and missiles. General Milley's trip came just days after British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said the U.K. would ship advanced tanks and hundreds of armored vehicles and howitzers to Ukraine, become the first Western nation to supply such offensive weaponry. On Sunday, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said he expects other allies will follow suit. Meanwhile, German Defense Minister Christine Lambrecht has resigned amidst mounting criticism from some NATO members over the pace of Germany's aid to Ukraine. On Monday, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz toured a German weapons factory, promising to appoint a new defense minister soon.
What is important is that when we set about the future of our country, we know that Germany needs a strong military and an efficient defense industry.
Last year, the German chancellor pledged to spend over $100 billion to expand Germany's military. In Afghanistan, armed men shot and killed a former member of parliament, Mirsal Nabizadeh, on Sunday in an assault on her home in Kabul. One of Nabizadeh's bodyguards was also killed in the attack, which also left her brother and another guard injured. Nabizadeh was elected in 2019 to represent Kabul and remained in office until the Taliban takeover in August of 2021. Her assassination came amidst a massive crackdown on the rights of women and girls by the Taliban. Over the weekend, the charity Save the Children reported it has resumed a small percentage of its activities in Afghanistan for the first time since the Taliban banned women from working for non-governmental organizations. The group added in a statement, quote, "The ban on female NGO workers, on top of the existing humanitarian crisis, will drive up the needs of children and have a huge ripple effect. It will mean fewer women and girls are reached with essential support. It will mean more children are forced into labor and marriage. It will mean tens of thousands of jobs are put at risk across the sector," they said. Burkina Faso's government says armed men abducted more than 50 women in two separate incidents late last week in the town of Arbinda. The women were kidnapped as they foraged for leaves and wild fruit due to widespread food shortages in Burkina Faso's northern Sahel region, which is under blockade by insurgents affiliated with Al-Qaeda and ISIS. The conflict has killed tens of thousands of people and displaced about 2 million people across Burkina Faso since 2015. In California, the death toll from 2 weeks of heavy storms and flooding has reached at least 20 after record rainfall and snow continued over the long weekend. The director of the California Governor's Office of Emergency Services described the storms as, quote, "among the most deadly natural disasters in the modern history of our state," unquote. In Ventura County, 17 inches of rain fell over the past week. Helicopters were needed to evacuate some residents in the county after flooding and landslides cut off access to their homes. Nearly 2 inches of rain fell on downtown Los Angeles Saturday, setting a new record. Parts of the Sierra Mountains received over 4 feet of snow. Over the weekend, President Biden approved a major disaster recovery declaration for California. He plans to visit part of California's Central Coast Thursday. Meanwhile, climate scientists are predicting the world will see record heat waves over the next 2 years due to a combination of climate change and El Niño, a natural climate cycle that drives global temperatures higher. Climate scientist James Hansen and his colleagues recently said, quote, "We suggest that 2024 is likely to be off the chart as the warmest year on record." In Germany, Police say they've evicted all the climate activists who were occupying the western village of Lutzerath. Hundreds of activists have occupied the deserted town for months to prevent the area from being mined for lignite, a highly polluting type of coal. Over the weekend, police used tear gas, water cannons and batons to clear the encampment. Medics say at least 20 climate protesters were injured. Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg joined the protests over the weekend. Video posted online show police pushed her and others from the site.
The fact that all of you are here is a sign of hope. This is only a part of a much larger global climate movement, a movement for climate and social justice and racial justice. Lutzerath, what happens in Lutzerath doesn't stay in Lutzerath. Germany, as one of the biggest polluters in the world, has an enormous responsibility. You are showing clearly today that the changes will not come from the people in power, from governments, from corporations, from the so-called leaders. No, the real leaders are here. It is the people who are sitting in tree houses and those who have been defending Lutzerath, for example, for years now. The carbon is still in the ground. We are still here. Lutzerath is still there. And as long as the carbon is in the ground, this struggle is not over.
The World Economic Forum has begun in the luxury ski resort of Davos, Switzerland. On Monday, climate activists blocked a private jet airport used by many to reach the annual conference. According to Greenpeace, over 1,000 private jets flew in and out of Davos during last year's gathering. Meanwhile, over 700,000 people have signed an open letter to fossil fuel CEOs attending the World Economic Forum, urging them to, quote, immediately stop opening any new oil, gas, or coal extraction sites and stop blocking the clean energy transition, unquote. The letter was written by a group of climate activists, including Vanessa Nakate of Uganda and Greta Thunberg of Sweden. In Nepal, an investigation is underway into the cause of the Yeti Airlines crash Sunday that appears to have killed all 72 people on board. It was Nepal's deadliest air disaster in more than three decades. The plane had been traveling from the capital, Kathmandu, to Nepal's second-largest city, Pokhara, where, when it began rolling from side to side before crashing into a gorge and catching fire, investigators were able to recover the plane's cockpit voice recorder and flight data recorder on Monday. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli troops shot and killed a 14-year-old Palestinian boy Monday as they carried out a raid in the Dehesha refugee camp near Bethlehem. Omar Khomour was a student in the ninth grade at a United Nations Refugee Agency school. He was the 14th Palestinian killed by Israeli troops so far this year, and the fourth Palestinian child killed since the new year. His death came less than 2 days after an estimated 80,000 Israelis rallied in Tel Aviv to protest plans by Israel's new far-right government to overhaul the judicial system. Similar protests were held in Jerusalem and Haifa. A plan led by Benjamin Netanyahu would sharply limit judicial powers by allowing a simple majority of lawmakers to invalidate Supreme Court decisions. In Britain, the government of Conservative UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has vetoed a bill passed by Scotland's Parliament that would have made it easier for people to change their legal gender. The legislation was approved by Scottish lawmakers last month. It would make it simpler and faster for transgender people to obtain legal documents establishing their gender, would end the need for a medical diagnosis of gender dysphoria, and would extend those rights to teenagers as young as 16. It's the first time since the Scottish Parliament was established in 1999 that the UK government has used its veto power to block a Scottish law from taking effect. On Monday, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, condemned the veto as a full frontal attack on Scottish Parliament.
In my view, it will be quite simply a political decision. And I think it will be using trans people, already one of the most vulnerable, stigmatised groups in our society, as a political weapon. And I think that will be unconscionable and indefensible and really quite disgraceful.
In New Mexico, a Republican candidate who lost his bid for a seat in the New Mexico State House in November has been arrested for orchestrating shootings at the homes of four Democratic officials. According to the Albuquerque Police Department, Solomon Pena paid four men in cash to shoot at the homes of two county commissioners and two state legislators. He was arrested by a SWAT team Monday. Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller described Pena as a right-wing radical election denier. Pena refused to concede his election loss in November when he lost in a landslide. He also was a vocal supporter of Donald Trump. The New York Times is revealing some Republican insiders knew over a year ago that then-Republican congressional candidate, now Congressman George Santos, had made up much of his resume, including his educational background, employment history and religion. Santos's lies were exposed when his campaign did a routine background report on him, but the findings were not made public. During his run, Santos would go on to pick up key endorsements, including Kevin McCarthy, now the House Speaker. On Monday, New York Republican Congressmember Nick LaLota called on the Department of Justice and the Federal Elections Commission to freeze any money left in Santos's campaign account due to fraudulent activity. It recently came to light one of Santos's aides impersonated Kevin McCarthy's chief of staff in fundraising efforts. On Monday, McCarthy admitted he, quote, always had a few questions about Santos, but McCarthy has so far refused to back calls for Santos to resign.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will bring a light freezing drizzle. The high will be 1 degree Celsius and the low will be minus 9 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be partly sunny in the morning, with a few flurries in the afternoon. The high will be minus 3 degrees Celsius, and the low will be minus 5 degrees Celsius. Friday will be cloudy with flurries throughout the day. The high will be minus 2 degrees Celsius. The low will be minus 7 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be partly sunny throughout the day. The high will be minus 4 degrees Celsius, and the low will be minus 6 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly cloudy in the morning, then snow in the afternoon. The high will be 0 degrees Celsius. The low will be minus 5 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly cloudy with snow for part of the day. The high will be minus 2 degrees Celsius. The low will be minus 8 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be partly sunny with snow for part of the day. The high will be minus 1 degree Celsius. The low will be minus 4 degrees Celsius. And that's it for weather on the New Spins Library.
We are Jitensha.
And you're listening to the New Spins Library
on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Sous masque désarticulé. Visage étiré de vivre, elle est fatiguée. Cherchant le silence, étoile de verre, aussi la femme enlisée dans le lierre, sous le septième signe.
The Adam's apple is neither a fruit, a vegetable, or, unless your name is Adam, accurate in its name. Today on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, we look at the ultimate lump in your throat and answer, what is an Adam's apple?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, beautiful, lovely and soapy people, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized informative podcast made to be listened to in the shower, but really you can listen to it anywhere you want.
Have you ever wondered if plants have feelings?
Or how much wood a woodchuck would chuck if a woodchuck could indeed chuck wood?
Or why our hair turns grey?
If you've wondered the answer to any of those questions, or if you're just a curious person, you've come to the right place.
We have answered all of those questions and we are about to answer one more.
So step into the cubicle with us as we answer... What is an Adam's apple?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
So this question came in from a Caroline Vickers from Wisconsin, and it's a goodie.
Caroline Vickers on the throaty questions. Do you know, having an Adam's apple is something that I've always just sort of accepted and never really questioned. Like,
do you remember when you first noticed you had one?
So I don't have a really pronounced Adam's apple, but this is a fun fact about me. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, is that I was a professional choir boy as a kid. I went to a special choir school.
I can't believe this.
I sang two services every day. And as a boy chorister, as a boy soprano, we would often sing in the full choir formation with the men, like the senior members of the choir. And I just remember, like, obviously, like, you're watching how people are moving their mouths and how they're articulating their lips. And, like, I remember seeing these massive bulging Adam's apples. Just going, like, what the fuck is that? Like, is that a really pronounced throat muscle?
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, like, you know, you see some lads, it looks like they have actually, like, swallowed an actual apple.
Yeah.
And Adam must be furious about it because maybe he was looking forward to it.
But like, come here, if you've never noticed your Adam's apple, if you can't like pinpoint when you kind of noticed you had an Adam's apple, did you notice your voice break? Like, did you just wake up one morning and turn from a squeaky Marcus to a deep Marcus? Or did it just happen all of a sudden? Or did it happen over a long period of time?
No, do you know what? I noticed my voice breaking more through singing than I did through speaking. Like, I don't have any really enduring memories.
So it wasn't like an overnight thing?
No, I don't think it is for many people. But I just remember, you know, one day being able to hit ridiculously high notes as a boy soprano. And then the next, like, I was playing loads of guitar at the time and everything, and
next thing you were,
no, all of a sudden,
today is gonna be the day that you're gonna bring it back.
Like, generally, I started playing guitar when I was like 11, and that's like, you know, kind of a normal enough time for a boy's voice to start breaking. And I went from having perfect pitch, being able to sing like unaccompanied, like sight reading everything, to my entire vocal range just completely changing. And I think that's really what kind of endures in my head as my voice breaking. And now I have a very deep, deep voice. But I think that
puberty is just the maddest thing, isn't it?
Puberty is
and
wild.
It's so gas as well, because like when you're going through puberty, all your friends are too, because, you know, they're all the same age as you. But like puberty is almost like Fight Club. Rule one of puberty, you don't talk about puberty.
Oh, it is like, genuinely, it's like, what a fucking hormonal tornado to be swept into. Like, do you know what? Looking back, like, I'm going to be 30 in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty sure that I'm no longer pubescent. Like, but looking back at like 13, 14-year-old Marcus, I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, do you know what? It's like, when guys are like, oh man, I don't understand how like girls act because they're hormonal or whatever. It's like, man, like, do you remember when you were pubescent and your hormones were making you like, that's mad. Like, fucking, just teenage boys are terrifying. I'm terrifying. I'm terrified of myself. It's crazy. But yeah, not allowed to talk about puberty. Not allowed to talk about, you know, getting hairy in places that you weren't previously hairy before. Not allowed to talk about getting spots on your back and sack and crack. Obviously, I'm talking very much from a boy's perspective.
Right.
I've just gone like on a big rant of self-discovery for the last couple of minutes. But like, do you remember where you were when you learned about like the birds and the bees and puberty and all that kind of stuff?
I actually don't remember like the event of finding out about the birds and bees or like when it happened. But something far more traumatic is ingrained in my memory, and that's how I found out about Santa.
Really, we've jumped from like, you know, lads discovering their own sacks to old man with the sack.
Well, how I found out about Santa, first off, for anybody who's listening, Santa is obviously real, and this was my brother playing a horrible prank on me.
Right.
But this is the first time that I found out with the conspiracy that Santa isn't real. I remember my mom and my brother Shane, my older brother Shane, Shane's 1 year older than me, were sitting in the sitting room just having a chat or whatever.
Yeah.
They were talking about Christmas presents or something like that.
Having a chat or having the chat?
No, just having a chat. Shane was in maybe, like, I found out about Santa far too late, to be honest, embarrassingly late.
Like, but what age?
Like, no, I say I was maybe about 11, okay? 11,
wow,
12,
okay.
Maybe. And Shane was 1 year older than me, and I walked in and they were obviously talking about Christmas presents or something. And I walked in and they kind of went silent, and Mom's like, Shane. And Shane was like, I sat down on the couch and Shane goes, shut up, Mom, she's like 12, she obviously knows. And I was like, Mom looked at me and she goes, do you know Tara? And I was like, yes. And I left and I went
but
up to
you
my
didn't
room.
Know.
I didn't know. And I cried my eyes out. Yeah, very traumatic. Very traumatic. I was
God.
No, my whole world is crashing down.
Right. Okay, so we've talked about the world crashing realization of becoming an adult and puberty. And
do you remember getting the talk?
About?
Puberty.
Puberty. Yeah, my parents were pretty open about it. Like, I had informational books. Pamphlets.
Oh
no! Like, you know, like my parents were fairly responsible in telling me, well, just kind of warning me about
the horrors of puberty.
Yeah.
Anyway, puberty is in fact the perfect place to start with this question, because Adam's apples form during puberty.
Okay, but before we get into the why and honestly who Adam is, what exactly is an Adam's apple?
The Adam's apple is a chunk of bony cartilage that surrounds the larynx, i.e. the voice box.
Bony cartilage. Are they like a Boney M tribute band or something? No, so bony cartilage is like, so the same stuff that makes up your ears and your nose.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Now, the reason we have one in the first place is kind of a little uncertain.
Surely there has to be some kind of scientific reasoning.
Okay, so like the appearance of a prominent Adam's apple has everything to do with larynx and thyroid cartilage, which I kind of mentioned previously.
Yeah.
The larynx is an organ in the neck of mammals and certain other organisms that facilitate breathing. It protects the trachea against food aspiration and plays a critical role in sound production. Due to the last reason, it's also commonly referred to as the voice box.
So just to kind of break all of that down, the Adam's apple is cartilage that surrounds the voice box.
Correct. Now, on the surface of the larynx, there are six type sections of cartilage, of which three of them are paired, while the remaining three are unpaired, which makes a total of 9 cartilage areas, which provide structural support to the larynx and make up the laryngeal skeleton. The laryngeal skeleton, not too sure how to pronounce
that. Any throat experts out there, holla!
But out of the unpaired cartilages, the thyroid cartilage is the largest and is directly responsible for the presence of the Adam's apple.
So cartilage on the surface of the larynx, the thyroid cartilage, that's the largest and forms the Adam's apple, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But that doesn't explain why only men have them, is it? Because they're Adams.
Well, actually, so both boys and girls are born with larynxes.
Unfortunately.
But when boys hit puberty... he's going to be sorry he said that.
Oh, God, no, I take it back.
Both boys and girls are born with larynxes, but when boys hit puberty, their voice boxes grow in size significantly more than in girls as their testosterone levels increase.
So the enlarged voice box obviously results in more resonance and a deepening of the voice,
correct. Yeah. So this results in the cracking of boys' voices and a prominent Adam's apple.
So can women have an Adam's apple if, say they just happen to genetically have a large voice box or like more testosterone in their kind of pubescent teen?
Yes, women too can have Adam's apples. In fact, both boys and girls are born with Adam's apples, but it's just not as noticeable in women. This may be due to a number of reasons. It could be a genetic trait or an anatomical anomaly. Unfortunately, the presence of an Adam's apple in women is sometimes considered unwomanly, as it's commonly identified as a characteristic feature of an adult man. As a result, some women choose to undergo a surgery to have the size of their Adam's apple reduced. This process is called, bear with me for this one.
Go on, try
chondrolaryngoplasty.
chondrolaryngoplasty.
Anyway, this surgery, like all surgeries, has some potential risks associated with it.
Right, I see. Yeah. So now we know what an Adam's apple is. It's cartilage surrounding the larynx.
Yes.
We know why they are mostly seen on men or associated with men or masculinity. The testosterone means a larger voice box and a deeper cracked voice.
Exactly.
But one question that you've answered, or that you haven't answered yet, which, to be honest, is the one thing that I really wanted to find out about. Who the hell is Adam, and why do we have his apple?
Okay, so almost all of our body parts have names that somehow sound biological, like the brain, heart, lungs, stomach, kidneys, etc. Although it's an entirely subjective statement, the name Adam's apple definitely kind of stands out. So, like, what do you think the reasoning is?
I'm just trying to think of, like, famous Adams throughout history.
Okay, Adams that may have been associated with an apple.
Well, like, the first thing that jumps into my head is, like, Adam and Eve and
absolutely
the Garden of Eden.
That is exactly
like,
it.
Literally, you know, they're hanging around and a snake is like, "Here, lads, I know you live in paradise, but I've got some tasty fruit on the tree you're not allowed to touch. Go on." And Adam's like, nah, I can't be doing that. But then Eve, who's made from his rib, literally, she walks back in and she's like, "What are you guys talking about? I got some fruit off the forbidden tree. What's up?" And then humanity was doomed.
Well, that is folklore according to Marcus. But yes, that is why the Adam's apple is called the Adam's apple. So Adam, the first human according to the creation myth of the Abrahamic religions.
Abrahamic religions being Catholicism, Judaism and Islam.
Correct. Had a piece of an apple, the forbidden fruit, as Marcus said, stuck in his throat. So all men who are essentially the descendants of Adam and Eve have that lump in their throat as evidence of the event.
Well, okay, so...
So Adam ate the apple, he got a bit stuck in his throat, that formed the Adam's apple, and all of you men, as a direct result of Adam saying yes to the evils of the forbidden fruit, now have Adam's apples.
There you go, so that's we have it. So the Adam's apple is an enlarged larynx covered in cartilage, and it's called Adam's apple to remind you not to be a bollocks.
Exactly.
There you go.
Case in point.
So any Adam's apple facts to end the episode, Taz?
Of course. Okay, not quite Adam's apple facts. I tried to find Adam's apple facts, but as you may guess, there are not many of them. They are not widespread. So I've just got some human body facts.
Oh, these
for which
is going to be
plenty.
This is going to be juicy.
Okay, so number one, did you know that women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Obviously, looking at handsome studs like me.
Oh my God, he's confident today, isn't he?
I'm feeling, do you know what? All this talk of human bodily facts. No, so really, women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've no reasoning because this is just a fact and it's not.
This is just a fact.
Yeah. Maybe we can take it for another episode.
Maybe. Why do women's hearts beat faster than men's? I don't know.
That's,
who knows?
That could be a Lady Gaga song. Why do women's hearts beat faster than men's?
Or like,
why do women's hearts?
Or like, what's that Miley Cyrus song that's in the charts at the moment? Nothing hurts like a broken heart or something.
Yeah. That's the one. Anyway, you ready for our next fact?
Yeah, I guess.
So leaving from how women are classed and their hearts beat faster to the smallest cell in a man's body.
Oh, brain cell.
Sperm cell.
Sperm cell.
Is the smallest cell in a man's body.
Really? Tiny little sperm.
Tiny little sperm. Okay, one more.
Go on. Okay.
On average, I say this is more for you and I, Marcus, but on average, a person says 4,800 words in 24 hours.
Oh, it's definitely more for both of us.
Well, lovely listener, there you have it. That is all you need to know about Adam and the Adam's apple and why women are class.
Caroline Vickers from Wisconsin, I hope that answers your question. And the next time you see a pronounced load of laryngeal cartilage, you'll be like, oh, I know what's up there.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you like what you heard, then good news, we have over 80 episodes. We have answered every kind of question that you could possibly imagine. If you listen to all of the episodes, you will be a more interesting dinner party guest.
And sexier, because knowledge is power. If you like what we're doing, please help us spread the good word about In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. Tell your friends, tell your work colleagues, tell the person you fancy that you swiped right on Tinder and got a match. Tell your granny, tell somebody you see walking your dog, tell somebody you see walking your cat. Just tell everybody.
Believe it or not, the growth of podcasts grow really through word of mouth. So by you just recommending this podcast to a couple of friends, you would be doing us a massive favour.
Next week's episode is actually going to be what this week's episode was supposed to be. Basically, I started looking into it and realised that it was too big an episode to just casually throw together. So I really wanted to do this properly. Next week's episode is going to go back to, is veganism really the best diet for the planet?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
When you are dead and gone, did you know the world?
this clock is ticking. But you're fooling me. Some time for you to borrow.
If you want to discover new artists, you're at the right place. I am Anemone and you're listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
Money.
close your eyes, make a wish, you might be surprised. Everything changes, life rearranges. New beginnings, no dead ends. Don't have much, but we've got friends. We're gonna dance all night. When you're feeling down, feeling underground, I'm one heartbeat away. If you're feeling down, world stops turning around, only one heartbeat away. It gets so lonely at the top, I wanna know you slowly.
Sanctum. mercredi 18 janvier 2023. C'est l'émission Sleepy King, poésie et musique, qui commence.